We just returned a group of us from Uganda. It's our seventh mission trip to Uganda. And today we're going to kind of go over some of the things that we did while we were in Uganda and how the Lord blessed and some of the stories. And you're going to get that from Luella and Leslie and DJ and some good photos to show you, because a picture is worth a thousand words. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 6, God asked the question, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah answered, if you recall, "Here am I, what? Send me." And so, you know, that's part of the prerequisite. If you want to, you know, serve the Lord, you have to be available to the Lord. So he's not going to send you. He's not a dictator. He's not going to force you to do something. But if you avail yourself to God and you say, "Lord, here am I," you know, you may not in your mind be the best choice. You might not think that you're the most qualified. But let me tell you something. If you're faithful to the call of God and make yourself available to the mission that he has, God will equip you for whatever he needs. So he doesn't need your talents. He doesn't need your skills. He needs your heart, right? So that's what mission work is really all about, heart. So when we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," the question I have for you today is that a sincere prayer when we pray that? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Is it true in your life? Because if it is, then what you're saying is that you've submitted your will for his will. And he will let you know exactly what his will is if you are seeking that in your life. If you are availing yourself to God's will for your life, he will show it to you very clearly. God directs the mission of our life as long as we submit our lives to him. So if you feel like that you don't sense any guidance or direction from God in your life, where you should be going and what his plan is for you, maybe it's because you haven't fully submitted your heart to his plans. So you haven't asked him to reveal to you what he would have you to do in your life. And everybody, believe it or not, everybody in this room has some call on their life. God has something for everybody in every season of your life. Some people think they're too young. Some think that they're too old to serve the Lord. But God has something for you in every season of your life that he wills for your life. The question is, are you seeking him for that? Are you availing yourself to God's will for your life? In the last 9.5 years, God has sent 7 teams to Africa and 2 teams to the Philippines from this church. God always has something going on. He always has something he wants us to be doing, wants us to be about his business. But again, how will we know what God is doing with us, what his direction is for us, if we're not seeking that in our life? So I want to encourage you, as we get into this slide, I want you to sort of open your heart and ask the Lord, "What do you have for me? What are you calling my life to? What mission, Lord, do you have for me?" And maybe it's right here in your own backyard. We're all called to something, however. Now, each team that God has sent out has been designed by God. He's the one that pulled that team together. We put it out there and say, "Hey, we're going to do this," and it's available to anybody that wants to go. But then God begins to weed out people. And some people get the interest, like they're interested in going, but it's not the call from God. And then God designs his own team based upon his own criteria for what he's trying to do. He puts the team together. And as God puts the team together by his design, then he directs us and then he deploys the team. That's how God operates. And in the 9 teams that we have sent out now from Calvary Taos, there is a commonality with every single team. And it's basically 3 things. Every individual on these mission teams has 3 things in common. Number one, they've all made themselves available to God. Available to God's call on their life. If you're not making yourself available, then God is not going to call you. Why would I call you to go to a certain place whenever I know you're not available to go? And God knows where you're at in your life. And so if you don't avail yourself to the things of God, you're not going to get called into the mission field. And when I say mission field, I don't want that to get confusing. The mission field is wherever God calls you. And again, there's a mission field right here in Taos. Some of us are called abroad. Some of us are called right here. Some of us are called who knows where God wants us to go. But everybody is called somewhere because everybody has a sphere of influence. And God is always calling us to minister to that sphere of influence that each one of us has. That's always a calling for everyone. Now, the group that went this year was no different than any other group in the sense that they were all available. Number two, they desired to do His will. Every individual on every team that I've taken had that desire in their heart to complete God's will in their life. And they were called by God and had that sense in their heart that this particular mission was for their life. And so they had the desire to do His will versus their own will. And then number three, they're servant-hearted people. They're people that have a heart to serve others. And therefore, they're other-centered and ready to go to work on behalf of those around them. Our team, again, this year was no exception. Everyone on this team, including our team in Uganda, because we have quite a little team going there, they were all servant-minded, available to whatever this mission called for. And every mission has its own little quirks and twists and turns, and we had many of them on this particular mission. Pastor Chuck Smith used to say, "Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken." Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. And if you go to the mission field, you will be tested in your flexibility. And this particular trip had a lot of things to challenge and to test our particular mission team. So our trip this year began with a delayed flight in Albuquerque. The flight crew was not there, and so they made us pretty late. So when we got to Chicago, we were running very late at that point to catch our plane. And then we had to get on a bus in Chicago that took us to another terminal. And they kept us on the airfield for about 45 minutes on the airfield. So therefore, we missed our flight. And so our trip began by a delayed flight and then a night that we didn't plan in Chicago. And of course, with that delay, we had one day, actually an evening, to rest when we got to Uganda. That was the idea. But instead, that day was out, and we had to fly in, and then the idea then would be that we would go to work. But we had a three-day conference that turned into a two-day conference, so we had to teach all the information for 3 days in 2 days. When we arrived in Entebbe, my granddaughter, Maddie, she got ill, and she had the very first day she had to go to a medical clinic there in Entebbe. So that's kind of how it began. And there were a lot of twists and turns along the way. But one of our favorite phrases here at Calvary Taos is two words. Can anybody tell me what that is? But God. Everything but God. When you have a situation on your hands, you put but God on the end of that and everything looks a whole lot different in that perspective. But God. Now, we were able to bless a lot of different people on this trip. And again, God worked through this church to be able to bless these people. The cost of this mission trip at large was about $50,000. And that came in from all different kinds of donors, $20 here, $50 here, from different people giving from their heart. Since January, people giving and accumulating so that we could do this. And the mission trip isn't just about the conferences that we did, which was to train this year over 1,400 pastors and church leaders in discipleship training. But it's also about how can we bless those. We did Philemon, the bullet train Philemon, on Thursday night. And we saw that one of Philemon's traits that Paul pointed out was that he refreshed the saints. And that's one of the things that we do when we go. These people have a lot of challenges every single day in that culture, in that country. And for us to go and be able to refresh them and encourage them and brace them up and build up their ministries, it means everything to them. So we were able to provide several things. We provided a guitar for a worship leader, and you may not think that's very important, but worship without instruments is kind of difficult. And this guy has such a heart for the Lord. He's also the head of the prison ministry at his church. So we were able to give him a new guitar when we went this time. One of our team members on the ground in Uganda, Stephen in Tororo, that's where we started our medical clinic there. We were able to take Stephen a computer this year with the best Bible study software on the earth and bless him with that and take a day or two to train him up in that. So there were a lot of immediate needs met as well. When we get there, we really don't know all the things that are going on till we hit the ground. And people begin to come to me and let me know what's going on in their ministries and their personal lives. My translator that I use for all three conferences, his wife had twins, but they needed an emergency C-section and they didn't have the money to do it. But we had the money with us for emergencies, and that was an emergency. And so we were able to pay for that situation for them. So all praise and glory to God. But look how God uses this little church in Taos, New Mexico to bless all these people across the ocean over in Uganda. Glory to God, right? All praise and honor to him. Now, we're going to start our slideshow. And there were three conferences this year. And you can see Bombo, Mukono, and Mpiji, those three in the bigger letters. That's where we were this year. And they were pretty close together. It's a little different the way I set it up this year because we set it up so that my wife, and some of you don't know, she has MS. And so she struggles. And we had put this together so my wife, who has not been able to go on any of the previous six trips, that she could go and see what God is doing in that work. And so we tried to put them closer together. We stayed in one hotel this time instead of all over the place like we usually do. And we didn't get too far out of the beaten path. But she was ill and was unable to go. And so it made it easier for this group that went. And I'm sure they're thankful for my wife and that we were planning it that way because it was a much easier trip than usual. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to call up Leslie and then I'm going to call Luella and DJ and they're going to get up and tell you their experience there with some slides to kind of back up their thoughts. Leslie, you want to come on up?
Well, first and foremost, I do want to thank God for allowing me to return to Uganda. This was my second time. I had gone with my church in Texas before. And so getting to go back, I always felt when I left, the Lord was going to allow me to come back. So I was very thankful that I had the opportunity, that God provided the opportunity at Calvary for us to go. So anyway, I definitely give him all the credit and appreciation for that. I also would like to thank my husband for entrusting me that the Lord had placed this on my heart to return, and that he trusted God that I would come back. And then lastly and importantly, I want to thank Pastor for opening up this trip. And I would always encourage anyone who wanted to go on a mission trip, you definitely should do it. It's life-changing for you, and it's life-changing for the people that you're loving on, I can assure you. The first picture I intended to put up was a picture of a lantana plant. And I chose this picture originally because it reminded me that a plant halfway around the world could also be in my own backyard. And that ties me to Uganda. And I'm hoping, and I'm thinking when I'm working in my own garden, that it brings back the memories of where I saw this plant. And this first picture is in Mpiji, and this plant was actually in Mpiji. And so then I remember, oh, I got to hold this little two-month baby who was covered up in two blankets and a beanie. And we don't think of ourselves as being cold. If you go in the shade in Uganda, they think it's cold. It's crazy because we're sweating profusely. And anyway, this was me a lot of the time, playing with the kids, holding the babies, and that was fun. This is John's granddaughter, Maddie, with me, and our wonderful host at Mukuno. Her name is Margaret, after not my granddaughter's here. Her name's Margaret. But she was an incredible host for us. She and her husband were fabulous. And what I wanted to say about in this picture, I wanted to point out about Maddie is getting to know all of John's grandkids was a gift. They were so fun and just really stepped up. I mean, the longer the week went on, the more we saw them take responsibility and, you know, get involved with interacting with the people. And it was really, that was really great. This is just a picture of, we were doing a sunset boat ride over Lake Victoria. We were right by the airport, so I just snapped this picture as the plane was coming in. And the funny thing about these planes is one of our drivers, he always knew where the plane was coming from. We couldn't see it from a mile off, and he would say, "Oh, that's KLM from London." So it was kind of a joke with him that we'd say, "Okay, what plane is that, and where is it coming from?" This may not look very appetizing this big, but it was a great plate of food that we would have most days. It was rice and beans, chapati, which is like a tortilla. So it's like Mexican food. Avocados as big as softballs. I mean, they were huge. Fruit, fresh fruit. This little yellow stuff on the bottom is actually steamed banana. So we had steamed banana every day. And then that stuff that looks like gravy is actually a ground nut that kind of tastes like peanut butter. So we had peanut butter and banana and rice and beans every day. It was so good. So that was what we ate normally. And I was just going to show, this is just the some of the pastors working. This is the gentleman in the glasses is Stephen. That's who John was just speaking about earlier. And Stephen's wife, Rosalind, brought a gift of these dresses to Luella and I, which is why we're twinsies today. And then this is the last thing that the pastors would do at the end of that conference is they would circle up and work on inductive Bible study, how to break down a verse. And then so we would just stand in there with them and help them, you know, navigate and figure things out. You know, some of it was in English, some of it was in Lugandan, so we had an interpreter that would work with us. But I also wanted to point out all the women that were also in there. We probably had at least a third more women than men, and in that culture, a lot of the women do the pastoring because the men won't. And I think John has talked about that before. So anyway, I'm just going to point out there are a bunch of women in that particular group. Oh, and that's my boy Isaac. Yeah, he was my buddy in MPG, and he hung out with us every day. So happy to see us. So what Ugandans refer to as white people is Mzungu. So we would get out of the car, and Mzungu, Mzungu, you know, the local kids would call us and wave at us and want to come touch us, and it was very endearing. But that's my boy Isaac. And now it's Lavella's turn.
All right. And here's Luella.
My name is Luella, and this was my third mission trip with John. And when I went the first two times to the Philippines, when I came back very refreshed. And I left with, I need to serve more. And I came back, and I really tried to do that. And I don't want to get emotional. So in the book of James, the Bible tells us, faith without deeds is dead. And for me to go to Africa in July was really hard for me. And I kept telling myself, faith without works is dead. I needed to have some kind of action. Yes, I'm faithful. But I needed to show it, and I needed to exercise it. So I said, okay, God, you open the door, you've allowed this, let me go and be faithful. And I came back very refreshed. So I went to beautiful Africa. Was not what I expected. I expected hot and dry, and we went to a very tropical, beautiful part of Uganda, which is referred to as the Pearl of Uganda. And I didn't know anything about Africa. Leslie had to constantly be reminding me where we were at and what the name of the city was. When we got there, we were in charge of registering and hosting. And I didn't know what God had in plan for me in my life when we were there. But we were being flexible. And I think our job was one of the neatest because we got to see all the people registering. And we had that first contact with these people, which was amazing. And it allowed Leslie and I to get to really know the people. And we had stories galore with all the personal people that we... And I'm going to share some of those stories with you. One of the things that I learned about Africa is the people of Africa are so full of love and they're so servant-minded. And what I want to bring back is that of being a servant-minded and the love. I told John, how is it that for every conference on the third day, we were so sad because we were leaving these people. We just created a love for them that was unreal. So let's see. Okay. So you guys, if you know me, I'm very competitive. And this is our workshop. Okay, that's our workshop. And these are the pastors in MPG. That most of the guys in my workshop were pastors. And I was instructing them how to do the workshop. And I would tell them in different workshops. This was the last one. So by this time, I knew what they liked to do, and you know they would get off on their little tangents. And so I was telling this guy, okay, you're going to stick to the scripture and only the scripture, and you're not going to get off beat. And so I was telling him this, and I was being real direct with him. And they were great.
Okay, I have to interject.
Okay.
Don't go away. But you see, at the end of the conference, we do these workshops, right? And at the end of the workshop, then one person from each group gets up and they have to present. And so we found out that Luella's pretty competitive. And so, boy, she wasn't letting him off the hook. He was going to be perfect and win the prize. So that we learned that.
Tom, I want to win.
Yeah, I would say, like, okay, if we don't win, you have to answer to all of us. And then we just loved on the babies. I thought she was just so precious. And this was in the second conference. What was the name?
Bombo.
And we got to know so many. They were the most organized. It was probably one of the bigger conferences that we had, but I made some really strong connections there with these people. Okay, the girl in the back, I tried to wear this like her, and I couldn't. This is Viola. Viola, her dad was a pastor, and her dad's stepmother, or her dad's wife, which was her stepmother, was sick, and so she had left her job in Kampala, gave everything up to go home and take care of her stepmom, who had just had a really bad stroke and wasn't even speaking or anything. And so Viola sends me little messages every day. So I went over there to bless these people and, you know, whatever God wanted to use me. And I came back so much more blessed. She was just a sweetheart. Okay, this was our first conference, and we just finished eating a meal, and I was like, well, what do I do? All the people had left. They were inside the church eating, and it was way too hot. So I went up to these were the caterers, and I said, hey, I do this for a living. Can I help you? And the guy goes, he didn't talk to me. He didn't say nothing. He just went like this and gave me the spoon. So I just started serving. And in the U.S., we don't eat nearly half of what they eat. So I had the responsibility of serving the rice. And when you go through a line, if you're ever at a party, you know, they serve you and they give you a spoon and, you know, you go on. Well, they eat abundantly. So I would just get a spoonful of rice and I served it. And they had their plate like this. And I went like that. And then they were like,
And I looked at the guy and he goes, well, give him some more. So then I gave him a little bit more and they're like, and I'm like, that's enough. And he's like, give him more. So that was my thing with them. And that's it.
DJ?
So I had a note page, but I forgot it. So we'll see how this goes. So let's see. This first picture, okay, I want to start off with everybody there. It kind of reminded me of this church a little bit. Everybody is incredibly eager just to hear what he has to say. And just to hear, well, but not just you in particular, but just the Bible in general. Like, I remember last year, there was a broken manual, and we were going to toss it because, you know, I mean, you can't even flip through the pages. It's so messed up. And the pastor wanted to keep it because he thought that somebody else could use it. I mean, that's how valuable all the information was that we were giving them. And so that picture, I believe, is me talking to the interpreter in, I'm going to say, probably, I think that's in PG. And so I'm talking to the interpreter, and if you don't tell them to speak word for word, you'll tell them, you know, five words, and they'll try to teach for you. Mm-hmm. So you have to go, and you have to say, well, what did you say? And in a couple of the conferences, I got a pretty good interpreter, and so he'd talk and he'd look back at me, and I'd tell him, and he'd talk, look back at me. And then you have that particular guy right there. I talked, and then he would just kind of step in front of me and then just raise his arms and go to town. But it was interesting to see how they understood what you were saying, because they never did it word for word. They never wrote down word for word what you told them was the right answer. And it was interesting to see how they interpreted it, how they understood it, and then how they wanted to apply it to the assignment at the end of the conference. And like I say, it reminded me of you guys, because every time, you know, Poppy teaches, I look around and everybody's, you know, staring at him, not even blinking, some of you. And you guys are all paying attention, and I hear sometimes, you know, they come up to Poppy and be like, that was a great study, and all this, and it's just, it was really inspiring to see all of them. That was the, was it Makono? Makono, yeah. So that was Makono, and that interpreter was pretty good, but that group was a little slower on the uptake. I would help them to write it down, but a lot of them can't write, a lot of them can't read, so they would have to, I'd give them a pen and they'd say, well, I can't read or I can't write. And so, you know, I had to explain to a couple of the groups, you know, you guys got to work together. If somebody can't write, you have to write it for them. Or, you know, I tried to tell everybody that was in each group I went with, you know, you guys are a team, you guys are a family, so take care of each other for this brief period. But like Leslie said a little while ago about the food, it may not look super appetizing, but actually the beans were really good, and then you put this peanut sauce on, and I really don't know how to describe it. It's purple, it's pretty good, but I don't know what it tastes like. So you put that on your beans and on your rice, then you eat this chapati, and me and Matt will tell you, we could just roll that stuff up by the handful and just keep eating it. It was incredible. And I can't remember her name, the lady that served us in the last conference.
Maggie?
Yeah. So there was a woman that served our food in the last conference, and she cooked like crazy. Like every 5 minutes, another dish was coming in, and it was insane. And I learned a couple minutes later after that she was sacrificing her time to be at the conference to cook for all of us. And it's just inspiring to see their devotion to God and to see how they serve Him in their own hometowns, like you guys serve here in Taos. And the whole trip itself was really inspiring.
You got another slide there, Corey? You're sleeping. Come on, buddy.
Oh, look at that. There's me teaching. All right. That was in the last conference, and that was my second time teaching that time, this trip. And it was a little hard, because before I could get a train of thought going, you have to stop and let the interpreter interpret for you. And it was just interesting, because he would come up and give me pointers on, you know, talk slower, try to not read word for word what the manual says, you know, try to make it your own teaching. And so I tried to incorporate that, and they gave me about 96% of their attention, so I was happy with that. And those little kids, man. We would get out of the van, and it's like they're just there. It's like they just stay there overnight and just wait for you to come back. And so Maddie and Matt, they would go hide in that van right there because of all the kids. It's like they're hanging on your arms, they're grabbing your hands. This one little kid, there's probably a picture of him in there somewhere. He'd take my hand every time I got there, and he'd lead me around into the church and stuff. And it's like, I have to have my hand back. I have to go this way now. It was inspiring and just fun.
All right, good job.
Take it away, Leroy.
Okay. Another word on Maggie was the lady he was talking about that was doing the meals for us in MPG. And we were all sitting together eating, and Maggie was bringing the meals, and she came in on, I think it was the last day, and she just broke down in tears because she wasn't able to attend the conference. And her husband is the Calvary Chapel pastor there in MPG. It's a brand new work. It's a very small group at this point. And she really wanted and needed that fellowship and that instruction and that encouragement. But she was so busy serving and making our food and taking care of those needs that she didn't get a chance. And that final day she came in, she just broke down in tears. So such a heart, a servant's heart. We learn a lot about what the important things are of Christianity when you get out of your comfort zones and do a little travel. So I'm going to just, these photos that are up here are kind of random. So I'm just going to quickly just kind of tell you what each one is. I believe that is Nicholas. Nicholas is the Calvary Chapel pastor in Fort Portal. It's right on the border of the Congo, and he's been part of my team for 5 or 6 years now. And he's just awesome. They want us to come and do a conference in that area next year. And again, there's DJ teaching, and that's Jacob, my translator, that when I went to do the crusade back in May, I met Jacob there, and he was so excellent that I hired him to be the translator for the rest of the trip, and it was his wife that had the twins. And also, I just want to say that I love seeing DJ and Maverick get up and teach the Word of God. We have to pass the love for Christ, the love for His Word, the importance of teaching others and training others. We have to pass it on to the next generation. They are our next generation of pastors, the next generation of the church. And we've got to be plugged in to the young people in our lives and encourage them in the things of God. And it excites me more than anything I could tell you to see my grandkids standing up before a group of pastors and teaching them inductive Bible study principles. It's
And the pastors loved it.
And I had a lot of comments from them thanking us that these young people were up there, because we had a lot of young people at these conferences. And they just showed the young people there how important it is to take your relationship with Jesus Christ seriously. And that all the young people, in fact, many of us older people, need to take our relationships to the next level. And I just had to snap that. This little guy was very intent on being a part of the conference. And I nearly stepped on him when I came around the corner. And I thought, oh my gosh, look at that guy. Okay, next. And there's Luella again, teaching and training. And again, I don't think that you can really explain to everybody exactly what you have to do before you get over there. But things change as you go throughout the day. Times change. It was funny. And I think one of the conferences, this pastor walked up to me with an agenda for the day. I just laughed. This is funny. I mean, take that back. Because it doesn't work that way in Uganda. You have to just roll with the punches. You know, lunch is supposed to be at noon. Nope, it's at 2 o'clock today. So we have to drive back. We want to get out before it's nighttime. And we've got X amount of things we have to get taught before the end of the day. And the schedule changes. And you can't complain. You can't argue. You can't try to, you just make it happen. And so they were so flexible, Luella, Leslie, the kids. Flexibility is so important. This was, they had a balcony, and that was a picture of one of the groups taken from the balcony. That's when they break up into like 10 groups, and then one person from each group at the end of the conference, they get up and have to present to show that they have learned the techniques that we're teaching them. Let's see who that is in there. Yeah, it's just another group out there. I don't see who the pastor is there. But anyway, you can see, you know, something else you don't want to mess. What's in their hands are those manuals that you supported us to be able to print. We take nothing from them. Everything is given. We pay for their food for 3 days. We pay for transportation for a lot of them to come and study. And we pay for all those manuals so they can have free manuals to study with, the pens, everything else that they need in order to do the ministry. All of that comes through God, through the conduit of Calvary Taos into their hands. And that's DJ teaching again and in Bombo. And again, outside, they were spread out all over the place, different groups in different places around. And this was, so to get to Mpiji from Entebbe, you could take the long way around, and the road is horrendous. And the girls got the nice vehicle. They got the little Land Rover with all the shocks. We got the old van that had no shocks. So you feel every bump in the road. So it's long and tedious, and you can get into jams, and it could take forever to get there. It could be 60 miles and take your journey. So I found out that there was a ferry. So I had my driver check into the ferry and the cost and how that would work for us. And so we used the ferry instead of taking that road. One day we had to take the road, and we realized we really appreciated the ferry after that. And I think is there a video up there of that? We had a preacher who was standing to my left who was preaching the gospel, yelling the gospel to the people on the boat the whole time we were traveling. The seating is first come, first serve. Luella said it sounds like Spanish. Yeah, first come, first serve seating. So the next two times we took it, we got some seats. We figured out how it worked. This is the end of a conference there in Mukono. And this is Bishop Lawandasa Samuel. And he is the bishop over 100 churches in that region. And he was the person that hosted us to come to his church and do the conference here. There were some twists and turns at that conference, and I'll share that in a moment. This was, again, his church there. And they have, when he preaches, he's live on Uganda television, which goes throughout the entire country of Uganda. Something we didn't know was happening. So the entire conference was live in Uganda on the television. And this was our group. This was his staff and our team together. This is getting Maverick ready to teach. And this is the team up on the stage. And as you can kind of see there, this was on television. This is a photo of the screen from the TV. That is the Minister of State. And he is directly under the Vice President of Uganda. And without us knowing anything about it, he decided to show up and make a political rally out of our conference. And so he showed up, and we had this large crowd. I think we had, that conference was 450. And 450 people is enough to draw the politicians. And so he showed up, and we're on live TV. So he made this giant political 45-minute, you know, deal. Now remember, I have to get a conference done. I got to get on the road so we don't miss the ferry. And we got all this going. He could care less. He took the conference over. I got called into a back room, and they said, somebody wants to meet with you. So I went back and met with him, and he had a notebook, and everything I said he wrote down. And he explained to me that he was very thankful that we were there, that they heard about the ministry that we're doing, and that it's very good for the people of Uganda. And said anything that we need from the Ugandan government, he would be more than happy to help with. He invited me to go and have dinner next time at the Ugandan White House. And he decided that he should be the one to hand out our certificates. And so that was awesome. You can see the look on my face. It's like, so, okay. Yeah. So it was pretty funny, really. And then I asked a translator, actually last night, and it was like 1 a.m. for them in Uganda, and he did it for me. But there's this whole thing, you can go to YouTube and see it, see the whole thing on YouTube. And I wanted to know, what was he talking about? And there's a program in Uganda called the Parish Development Program. And what they do is they loan money to people in Uganda, the government does, and then they fund you to have a business. And so they're using the church as a mouthpiece for the government. And so it was, the whole thing was about trying to get the church to be involved with this parish development government program. And all government programs are good. So that was an interesting thing about how it was like watching what was happening in Britain before we came to America to break free from government using the church as a mouthpiece for the government to establish rules and regulations for the people. That is exactly what was happening while we were there. He stepped right in, took it over, told them what the deal was with the government, what the plans were, and they were encouraged to follow it. And then the pastors later came on, and each one of them separately endorsed the government program. In fact, one of them said, pastors, we need to preach the gospel of the government. So I thought that was interesting. So God had us there at just the right time to put the focus back on Jesus Christ as the main focus and priority of the Christian church. There you have it. And this is one of our recipients. That's just giving them the certificates at the end of the conference. Important to note, they're trying to pass the law in Uganda that they have in Rwanda, that if you're not certified, they're going to close your church. And so this was an interesting moment that we couldn't have put together, where the Minister of State shows up and we have him on live TV handing one of our certificates to their pastors. So what that did is that authenticated our training as acceptable in the eyes of the government for certification for your church, you see. So the pastor, after it was over, took me aside. He says, you have no idea how powerful that it was to have you and this man together handing out these certificates, because they now, when you come back, they know that your certification is government stamped. Isn't that interesting how God works? I like the U.S. flag up there. That was on the television. I had no idea that I was doing that. And then he grabbed my arm and started swinging my arm around. I said, okay. Handing the certificates out. You, again, this is hard for us when I say, you know, here's the things that we need for the mission, you know, the manuals, the certificates. They're so important. Each of those manuals also is signed by Art Hurtado, his PhD. So it has the backing of a PhD and a little mountain church pastor. Okay, so those certificates mean a lot with the PhD signature on it. And that's one of the conferences in Mukono. Again, kids hanging on. This was working the tables, and there's a lot of work to be done there. We had 6 different translations, I believe, at one of the conferences. There's Leslie teaching again, and just going for it, jumping in the middle of it. I don't think Leslie ever taught an inductive Bible study course before, did you? Yeah, and she just right in the middle of it. Not a lot of instruction, just going for it. You got to get outside of your comfort zone. I was very proud of her and the work that she did. And just jumping right in and explaining it to them. And I had to snap that one. That was across the street from the church. And she was just watching all the affairs going on over there. And here they are doing the serving. And I guess you do have to learn that when you serve a plate in Uganda, those plates, they stack up about that high. And you're like, how are they ever going to eat all that? And they do. And come back for more. So they register them so we can tell you exactly how many people were there, how many manuals that we used, and how many certificates we had to have. This is Maverick now teaching. And this is one of the guys that's presenting now at the end of the conference. She was going for it. And this was one of the main guys there. And the ladies will tell you, we were kind of surprised when the bishop, who's over 80 churches, he went through the course too. And he got up and he was the weakest of them all. And he was the leader, which told us that it's very important for us to continue the work that we're doing. They need it. And he needed it, and he was hungry for it, and he didn't have it, but he was willing to go through it and even put himself up in front of all the rest of them and try his hand at teaching a passage using inductive Bible study. It was pretty humbling for him to do that. And they just wanted to show you a few shots of the students just going for it, working, trying to understand the concepts. I thought that was beautiful outside. That's Pastor Stephen. There's the different manuals. I was getting some gifts, Young guys. These guys weren't more than 13 or 14 years old. Again, practicing presenting the Word of God. And that's it. That's your team. Calvary Taos 2023. Does anybody have any questions? I sang one song. They asked me if I'd sing a song, and I sang Amazing Grace for Diane Davis. You have that on film. Yeah. I wish that they had had the chords to that song. Interesting. Anything else? Any other questions? Just when are we finished? That's your question? Okay. So we already have invitation to return again. I don't know if you remember, anybody remember Steve Spady, Dr. Spady?
Yep.
So while I was there, I let him know that in the Calvary Chapel in Entebbe have asked us to do a conference next year there. And he asked me if that would be a good place to do a medical mission along with our conference. And I said, yes. So he's planning on bringing a team of dentists and doing dental work along with some medical stuff as well. So I'm just letting you know, it's up to the Lord. We're asked to go back every year and always say, I don't know if we're going to go back or not. It's up to God. And if we see that God provides for it early on, and usually that's how it happens, it happens pretty quick, then we know that the Lord's behind it. And so this is something to be praying about. If you see these things that it interests your heart, in serving and wanting to go into the mission field and be used by God for His glory, and then be praying about it. We've got a whole year to pray about it and see what God does with you and with us. And of course, we believe that where God guides, He provides. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you gave us, Lord, to go and represent you in Uganda again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your loving kindness, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your direction. And Lord, every hiccup that we had, you had an answer for. We just had to be slow and just look to you, Lord, and wait for it to appear. Let it unfold. And Lord, you're so good with us, so patient with us in every way. You just want to bring us along, continue to mold and shape us for your glory. Let everyone in this room today, Lord, I pray, be an instrument in your hand for your glory, for your purposes. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Jesus loves you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.